Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a weekly podcast to keep you up to date on what's new on our cloud platform, Microsoft Azure. Your hosts, Cynthia Crane, Evan Basilik, Sujit DeMello, Kendall Roden, Kel Teeter, and Russell Young discuss a different service or solution on each show, with subject matter experts to explain how to get started, how different services work, and how to make decisions in tricky scenarios. You can find out more about our podcast at azpodcast.com or follow us on Twitter at Azure Podcast.
Welcome back to the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 314, being recorded on the 10th of February, 2020, with special guest Avon Gonzalez. I'm Sujit, and on Teams with me, we have Kendall and, of course, our special guest Avon, who we're going to get to in just a minute. In Azure Backup today, Azure Backup can say, okay, you know, hey, here's my VM and here's all my disks and back them up, right? You have to back up all the disks in the VM. But we're seeing a lot of customers that say, hey, you know, we really don't want to back up all the disks, right? This disk over here has some very sensitive information we want to handle separately or whatever. So only back up these disks, or this disk is a throwaway disk. We don't really need to put it in the backup. So now the new version of Azure Backup supports selective disk backup, right? So you can back up just a specific disk. And when you restore it, you can say, okay, you know, just restore that particular disk back to where it was. So that's a new feature out there. And then kind of related to that a little bit is Azure Site Recovery, right, which is also sort of like a backup solution. And a new feature in Azure Site Recovery and now allows you to use customer managed keys with the disks. So, you know, today customers can bring disks that bring your own key format. And with that, when you restore that disk from Azure Backup, let's say you had some sort of disaster and you had to restore the disk, you can now use the customer provided key, so you can unencrypt all the information that was there and restore it correctly.
Yeah, so I was just going to throw this in pretty quickly. So back in August, we introduced the new HBV2 virtual machines for Azure, and those became generally available in, I believe, South Central US. So this is something that they had announced, like I said, at the end of 2019. And really, these are just VMs that are really made for high performance workloads, HPC type scenarios. So just something to be aware of. And I believe they're going to continue to roll that out in future regions. And kind of as an aside to that, there is a website that you can go to see when things are going to become available and which Azure region. And so just for those of our listeners who aren't already aware, we can put that in the show notes. It basically will tell you all of the different products and especially the different virtual machine SKUs. And then it'll tell you when they are either predicted to become available, when they're in preview, and then when they go from being in preview to generally available. So, that's exciting.
I bumped into Avon actually at the SeaTac Airport just this past weekend. I was there for Microsoft Ready, which is an internal conference that we have at Microsoft twice a year. And Avon and I used to be in the consulting practice before I moved over to CSC. And so we got talking, and right there and there, he had cracked open his Azure IoT kit, and he was tinkering with it right in SeaTac Airport. So
it's like, that's okay. Commitment right there.
So it was like, wow, this guy really loves his IoT devices. And it turns out it's not just, and he's very passionate about it too. And so I invited him to come on the show, and he wanted to give us a quick rundown on his take on IoT and IoT Hub, some of the new updates that he's seen with the service, and how he's leveraging it for his passion. But Avon, go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us what you do. I know your regular job, and then what your other passions are in the Azure space.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Sujit. Avon Gonzalez, a senior consultant. I'm working on the MCS, and I'm also specialize in the application development area. But one of my passions is the IoT space. And so I went to the conference trying to learn what's new, what's the best of breed out there. And one of the new exciting services that just came out was Azure Sphere. So and I tried to, I signed up, got into some of the conferences there and the meetings, and it was very exciting what their Microsoft is trying to do with Azure Sphere. So basically, when the IoT came out, you know, it was the greatest thing since sliced bread. Everybody went out and, you know, put IoT devices on everything, coffee machines, dishwashing, you know, smart home thermostats and this and that. But one of the things with getting things out in the market really quick was security. And, you know, there's billions of devices, IoT devices out there in the world right now. However, one of the things that a lot of people realized that they couldn't have it connected. So they really couldn't get any real-time data from it, any real-time telemetry from the devices. So as the years went by, Microsoft saw an opportunity. You know, what can we do to help the clients out there that has all this legacy or brownfield IoT devices? So they came up with Azure Sphere. And, you know, I had that aha moment myself. And I said, so how are they going to secure these devices? So Azure Sphere, basically, it stands on three pillars. It's the MCU, the Microsoft Control Unit. And they made sure that the silicone, the hardware itself, is tamper resistant, has a lot of countermeasures, and they have what's called Pluton on it. It's a that's how they're doing all the countermeasures, and all the hardware security inside this chip is all firewalled from each other. So if one goes down or is tampered, the others are. Have all these internal firewalls built in. It's all baked in there. Then the other part
Before you proceed, quick question on that. Is that similar? How is that related to the concept of like the confidential computing thing? Because I've kind of heard that in like the secure enclave. Is that related at all? Is it the same? Are they using that? I don't know. I was just kind of curious before we move forward.
Yeah, no. What it is it's Microsoft is working with the hardware I don't recall who the hardware provider is, but they're working with the hardware manufacturer, and they put very specific specifications, and they call this, you know, the specifications or framework, they call it Pluton, P-L-U-T-O-N. And they have to make sure that all the circuitry inside are all, they can't be compromised. If one is compromised, the other pieces are firewalled from each other. But that's one of the things that one of the pillars. But the second pillar is the actual operating system itself, which is a pared down Linux-based kernel, right? It's, so that way you can reduce the threat surface of the Linux. You know, it's just bare bones Linux. That's what it just needs to do, right? So that way it can't be to try to lose that threat surface there. And the last piece of the Azure Sphere is the security service. Basically, it does all the authentication, the update, checks the failures, anything failures, and also the certification authentication. So all of this, the Azure Sphere is currently in preview, and they're one of the things that they needed to do it's also to create manufacture these the Azure Sphere dev kits. So when I found out about it, that's why when Sujit saw me on the CTAC lounge, I was already ordering the kit. Basically, it's one of those kits where it's already baked in, it has all the tamper-proof countermeasures on it. It's not like years ago, and you wanted to play around with IoT devices, you get a Raspberry Pi, you play around with it, but it wasn't really secure. But this one is very specific. So that's one of the more exciting things of came out for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Ivan, I wanted to ask you, you mentioned earlier that this would help in brownfield devices.
So, yeah,
explain that over to me.
All those legacy, Yeah, all those legacy IoT devices that are not secure or are not connected to the cloud, they can now use what's called a Azure Sphere Guardian module. Basically, it will sit in front of that legacy IoT device, and that device can now connect to that Guardian, Azure Sphere Guardian module, and that will then communicate to the cloud.
Is that a separate hardware device, the Guardian module,
yes,
or is that a software component?
Yes, it's a separate hardware device.
I see.
But it needs to be certified. It's an Azure Sphere certified hardware that very inexpensive. So because imagine you're a manufacturing one of those robotics or car manufacturing, you have hundreds or thousands of these devices. So, I didn't get to the architectural piece. It's either they can do a one-to-one or a many-to-one Guardian. And that from that Guardian piece, it will connect to the Azure.
I see. So the Guardian is kind of like a broker between the old world and the new world kind of thing.
Correct. So that's why I think Microsoft saw an opportunity there to get all of these legacy IoT devices more secure and able to communicate. And so in that way, the client will be able to see what's going on with their devices or whatever things they need to measure in real time and get all of that.
Now, I know, Avon, you're an application developer guy. I've heard that programming these Azure Sphere devices is a little tricky because
right.
You have to use a very low
current level language. Yeah, the current language for the Azure Sphere is currently C.
And
yeah, so I was surprised with that too. Yeah.
And have you taken a look at the SDK yet? Is that have they provided a decent SDK for us to be able to write?
Right.
Some
yeah,
apps
they
on
do
it?
Have they do have SDK for Visual Studio 2019. Yeah.
Okay.
So
any plans for do they have any plans to make .NET available in it or something a little more higher level?
I don't know. They didn't mention that yet. Right now they're just they just have the C level right now. Programming language. I was hoping it'd be a little higher level.
Right.
You never know.
So how many people are trying to throw Kubernetes on Azure Sphere? Let's go. Is that a thing? Honestly, I mean, I know even just running Kubernetes on the edge is now becoming such a popular topic. I don't know how feasible it is personally from my own experience, but do you know how that kind of comes into play at all in this space? Does it, in your opinion?
I mean, I know when before I knew that you could have installed Docker on those Raspberry Pis. So I'm sure I can't say to that right now. I'm totally new to all this Azure Sphere myself.
What do you think are some of the applications that you, as an app developer, would be keen to try once you get your Azure Sphere device? What do you kind of looking to do with it, and what do you see? What are some of the potentials for our customers, for example?
Yeah, so basically, that's one of the things that I wanted to try to find out what's out there that what our clients can do, and see how we can help them with all their devices. I mean, some of these devices are very simplistic. They just measure, one telemetry either that, let's say a robotic arm, is it working, or measure the temperature if it's running hot or is it on fire or something like that. And then because one of the things that the Azure Sphere really we just wanted to take over and solve was the security piece, right? Because once we get that telemetry, it's into through the Azure Hub and all of that, IoT Hub, then we can leverage all the services that we have available for the IoT space.
So So how does the what do you see in terms of security? Like how does that make it more secure than, let's say, the Raspberry Pi or, you know, some of the IoT devices that we have today? I know you mentioned that it's kind of in this very locked down operating system and things like that. But once you have to connect up to the IoT hub, how does that work? How does that whole flow work there?
Well, another piece that the Azure Sphere has is what's called over-the-air updates. And it also has all these certificate authentications built in. So, for example, with the Azure Sphere modules, they can get updated with any security patches in real time or hardware in real time. Once they recognize that it's not doing anything, you know, like, for example, like a maintenance period, that they can get updated.
And so over the air means these things are all, we're expecting that they're going to have a cell phone, like a cellular connection, or when you say over the air, it just means through Wi-Fi. Typically, how are they wired up?
I think right now they just have the Wi-Fi.
Okay.
I'm not sure of the other protocols, whether it's a cellular or a Zigbee or any, or Bluetooth or any other short range communication protocols.
Okay. Cool.
So how does one, like, if let's say something was to get, one of these devices was to be compromised, or there, you know, because the reality is even the most impenetrable systems, typically you want to assume the worst can happen. So like from a telemetry and kind of security perspective, what would be the path for customers who are using this to make sure that they are streaming telemetry while not opening up, you know, too much data to the outside world? Do you know what that workflow looks like at all, just to make sure that the devices are as secure and you can monitor them?
Right. So what Azure Sphere and the project team did was they made sure that it, what's called the seven properties of security. There's seven of them that manufacturer or the Azure Sphere framework has to adhere to. So the first one is what's called hardware-based root of trust. Basically, what that's saying is it has anti-forgery and anti-spoofing. So it has all these cryptographic keys and a lot of physical countermeasures to make sure that there's no any other channels won't be able to be attacked. Another one is called what's called this. So that's one. The second one is what small trusted computing base. So basically, the runtime of the subsystem is secured. That the, you know, the keys that run the hardware are protected. Another one is defense in depth. So basically, what that's saying is it has multiple layers of security. So basically, it's all like the OS, the OS layers, or those seven layers of communication, from hardware all the way to the software and all the communication protocols. So if any of those layers are attacked, the one above or the one below can mitigate that attack. Another one is compartmentalization. So basically, like what I was saying, it limits any single failure, what's going on within the hardware. So a lot of that security is baked into the actual silicone. The fifth one is the certificate-based authentication. So you can't get in with usernames or passwords. Everything has to be signed certificates. Also, they have the renewable security, and also the last one is failure reporting. So if anything happens to the hardware itself, if it's being tampered, it'll automatically report that it's being tampered with, and it can then send a signal to try to shut it down or something like that.
That's pretty good, actually. That's a nice thing. And, I was thinking about what Kendall asked earlier. it kind of sounds a little bit, to me at least, like confidential computing, right? At least at a server level. I mean, confidential computing is obviously at a server level where there is multiple tenants running on the same server, but each tenant has their own encrypted workspace, so to speak, and that all the memory that's being worked on is encrypted, such that the other tenant on that box cannot read the memory. That's always a fear, right, in a multi-tenanted system, is that, hey, my neighbor can see what I'm doing. But it looks like this kind of does the same thing at the smaller level, at the IoT level.
Right. But that, like I said, for Microsoft and their clients, it sets up a great opportunity for us to help out all of those legacy and brownfield IoT devices that's out there. You know, I mean, here's a classic example. In the news recently, you heard about those baby monitors, and they got hacked, right? Because it's a simple IoT device with a camera and audio, but it still got hacked, right?
Yeah, so I was looking online. So we have some different customer stories that are just related to customers that are using Azure Sphere. And I know I actually was at Build, so I had an opportunity to see this. But for some of our listeners, good just to make this a little bit more tangible and real world, Starbucks basically went back and retrofitted a lot of their coffee machines or their espresso machines, mm-hmm. whatever you call them, with that Guardian module. So I guess Starbucks and Microsoft kind of partner together to create that external device in order to actually go back and aggregate the data across all of these existing machines. So they say that they're using Azure Sphere basically in order to aggregate data, identify problems. And it seems like they're also using it to even update and push out updates to their recipes to the machines. So it says they have about 30,000 stores and 80 markets, and they have to update these recipes. So it's pretty cool. That's just like a really tangible example of how, some of the things we just talked about really coming into play, especially at like massive scale, right? So that's pretty neat. And we'll drop a link to that story in the and attach it to the podcast for anybody that's interested in reading more about that.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good one, Daniel. Thanks for bringing the context there. Yvonne, this has been great so far. Anything else you want to add regarding some of your work in the IoT space, and what are you looking forward to?
I'm just looking forward to getting my new device and start working on it.
Now you had an Azure IoT device with you on the airport. So what was that? Tell us about that one.
Oh, that was another one that's the standard Azure development kit. I think it's MXP, where it has multiple sensors on it built in already, and it's just a way for a developer to get really hands-on, trying to learn a basic IoT device. It's a small, inexpensive, small chip, even less expensive than a Raspberry Pi, and definitely it has all. Then you can do what you were trying to learn was all the telemetry and the live stream analysis that's I think recently available also.
That's on the IoT hub, right? Is that what you're referring to? Like the telemetry over there? Yep.
Right. It's basically what the other thing was, what's called the Time Series Insight, the TSI. Yeah.
I know you were excited about that being able to leverage that. And, because essentially with IoT, it's all about, detecting anomalies and seeing what's happening, what's not happening sometimes. And I guess the Time Series really helps you with that.
Exactly. Yeah. Because TSI is integrated with IoT Hub and Event Hub, so I wanted to try to leverage that also, see what I can do with that.
Awesome, this is great, Yvonne. Thank you so much for spending the time.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys.
With us, and if you have any resources you want to share about, some of the stuff that you learned about Azure Sphere, send them over to me, and I'll add them to the show notes along with this podcast recording.
Excellent. Thank you, guys.
All right, then.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any thoughts, questions, or just want to connect, find us on Twitter at Azure Podcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixer.org under the Creative Commons license. We hope you'll tune in again soon to keep learning with us.